My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
And across from me, I mean, he is suited and booted on a football and F off Friday. G. Bush, what's up, buddy?
We ready to go. I had to come with my Sunday's best. I'm making a debut. I don't think I've ever worked with you on afternoon drive. I had to make it special.
Well, I got to say, I think your Sunday best is better than the Browns' Sunday best.
That ain't hard to do.
Is that okay? Was that actually unintentionally a shot at you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then I take it back. I will not take my anger on the Cleveland Browns out on you, G. Bush. I will say, interesting chair choice, because you and I are almost exactly the same size human beings.
Yes.
And you chose the very low to the ground chair.
Right.
This is not judgment. There's just a chair that we would. I'm looking down at you right now, and I'm not. You're one of the few people I actually get to look eye to eye with. So it's tripping me up a little bit.
Yeah, listen, here I'm just used to taking what chair they give me on the weekend. Sometimes there ain't no chairs in here. We sit Indian style and do the show. But no, I just came and grabbed it. And here's the thing about sitting in a smaller chair. It gives you a different vantage point of life.
Like how smaller people live.
Yeah, like listen, this would be horrible if I had to look up to you like this. This would be bad choices, seating arrangements here.
So this is my anytime I pick up my kids are getting a little too old to pick up, specifically the 14-year-old, but the 10-year-olds are not. And so when I pick them up, they're like, this is what the world looks like from your vantage point. I'm like, I know, right?
Nick, this is crazy because I remember when we used to work together on the weekends, dragging ourselves out of bed. I remember when you had those children.
Yes.
And they were nothing but babies.
You know what blew my mind yesterday? I realized that when the station started, I was 26. Spoiler alert, I'm no longer 26. I'm a middle-aged man, and it is going as poorly or as well as it possibly can on any given day.
Them hours and weeks and years be flying by, man. Every year it gets faster and faster, man. That's why it's so depressing that we continue to lose people, our loved ones, and the Browns continue to not get it done.
And sometimes it's the Browns that are helping us lose those people. It is the Browns shaving years off the lives of our loved ones.
Man.
I gotta say, man, I'm feeling pretty rosy today, though, because it's just a gigantic week, or weekend, rather, in Cleveland sports. And listen, in one way, the Guardians game getting moved to 108 tomorrow helps you, because now you can split up. You don't have to make the choice between trying to watch, who's on the big screen and who's on the phone, or who you're going to split screen and who gets the main focus. But Ohio State, Oregon, out west, we've got Guardians, Tigers, Game 5. Game 4 was so much damn fun. And we can be as cynical as you want. Browns, Eagles on Sunday in a game that once again feels more winnable than we thought it would.
Yeah. Listen, Outson Stadium, you get an opportunity to see the Ohio State Buckeyes. They look like they're a bona fide national championship contender. Chip Kelly returns home, so to speak, with the, and by the way, his offense is morphed. He's done a good job of evolving as he's gotten older. I like what he's doing out there.
I just love that as he's gotten older, he's like, I'm going to get as many fat guys on the O-line as I can.
Yeah.
Get as many 325, 330, 340, 350s. And by the way, this is year one. They're going to get fatter. Just wait for it. And we're just going to run the ball down everybody's throat instead of, I know he ran the ball a lot at Oregon, but like he had Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
He had really good quarterback play. Now he's content to just, nope. We're just going to run it down your throat.
And then when we don't run it, we have the best receivers that are 12 years older. I mean, Jeremiah Smith is like 14 or something, and he's just like, this dude is a monster.
You really want to feel super old? Jeremiah Smith was like 5 when this station started.
Man.
There. Sorry I did that. Sorry to anybody listening. I'm sorry I did that. But that was a shot across the bow for G. Bush.
Well, you know, and the great part about it is you get, and I have to say this, there is nothing more exhilarating but nerve-wracking than I don't watch every single baseball game of the year. Obviously, it's kind of difficult to do. But when you watch every single baseball game, I've never lived, died, and being reincarnated after every single pitch. It's nerve-wracking. I want to go smoke a cigarette, and I don't smoke. Mm-hmm. It's just so nerve-wracking. But when you are able to pull out a win like the Guardians did on the road, it's the best feeling in the world because, you know, even though there was a struggle there, they got it. And a sacrifice bunt of all – the suicide squeeze out of all things – and I've never
by David Fry, but, of all people, like the second least like Josh Naylor's the least likely guy to do it, and then it's probably David Fry.
Well, I heard the story is he goes to Stephen Vogt, or Vogt goes to him and says, "Hey, can you lay down this bunt?" And he's mm-hmm. like, "Well, I've never really done it, but let's give it a good old try." And he lays it down. Great slide, by the way.
I'm sorry to one up you here. Elite slide.
I mean,
that was a holy crap play by Brian Rocchio, or as we call him, Playoff Brian Rocchio.
I mean, by the way, Playoff Brian Rocchio is different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where he got this this Super Saiyan boost from. I don't know if he got his Zenkai boost because he was it's crazy. Like the fact that, and by the way, he's taking some borderline pitches. Eye is now on 100. He's taking pitches. He's getting on base. And I'm just happy that you get Kwan back swinging the bat like he was, being judicious, slapping the ball this way. And Jose Ramirez,
yeah,
is he out of his slump? Yeah. Is he there?
I mean, I think it was just you couldn't have scripted that game up better. I mean, even having to get the insurance run, thinking you probably don't need it because Clase's on the bump, and then you get the double, then obviously guys get moved over, then the run, and then Clase just whiffing, just striking him out to end the game. You could not have scripted that game in terms of drama factor better, because that game seesawed three or four times where you're like, oh, Guardians up 1-0. Okay, now it's 1-1. Now it's 2-1. And it just kept going back and forth. But I think, you know, like we talked a lot about the difference between Guardians wins and Guardians losses. And this is no disrespect to the Tigers. They have earned it.
Yeah.
Salute to the Detroit Tigers. You guys are tough. Their fans are a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, this series has been so much damn fun. Same point. I felt like certainly in game three, there was some self-defeatism for the Cleveland Guardians. And I think it's true. Like the axiom, I think, is true with this team more than everything. In baseball, it's not always this case. Sometimes it's the offensive line just kind of takes you to a title. Sometimes it's an elite, you know, two or three starters or an elite bullpen or whatever, and then a little bit of help otherwise. No. The Guardians are 1-26. And last night was a perfect team win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bybee, I thought, battled like hell. Did give up two earned. Got that relatively quick hook. Battled. Hosey, finding it. Rocchio, Playoff Rocchio. Kwan is certainly on one right now. Like, and I will tell you, you were talking about living and dying and being revived and all that. My family's getting to see what Playoff Nick Wilson looks like. That dude is crazy. I asked everybody to bring the volume down. I was like, guys, I'm going to need you to simmer down, stop cross-talking while I'm trying to watch this game. I mother bleep Josh Naylor at least twice last night. I started chanting Jose, Jose. You understand? I don't do these things normally for any other sporting event, and it's like I was at the game. And Vanessa, I think, initially was like, oh, I love this, Nick. And then at some point she's like, we got gummies. You want one? Can we get you a Valium? Can we just bring down the anxiety a little bit? The dog, Mongo. Mongo's climbing up on me. Anytime I get anxious, this dog senses it and climbs up on me. He was on literally my sternum last night.
Like, yo,
because I was just out of it.
I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm not having a heart attack. You was out there with some rosary beads and a random candle lit vigil. I'm like, turn the lights off. Like when my grandma used to be storming outside, turn them lights off.
I was
Lord is mad right now.
I was praying to my God, your God, Xenu, a Tom Cruise's God. I'm praying to atheists. I was doing there was a seance at one point trying to get Louis Tion to give us a little good luck here. May he recently rest in peace. Yeah, that was something last night.
And then Clause, it's all in our DNA. because we know we felt the Jose Mesa situation, and it's like, I was annoyed that the Detroit Tigers were in there. I'm like, these are some damn good at bats. Like the one guy, he ropes a ball down the left field line. It's 102 miles an hour above the letters. Yep. How are you pulling that? I'm like, this is, and it gets to a point where you're like, man, is it just Detroit's magical season or something? Because like no one has hit Class A like that. Nobody. Yep. And now you see two games in a row. So by the way, it's going to set up. He's going to be a pivotal part of the game on Saturday. Bank it.
I'm not even over game four. I can't even mentally prepare myself for game five here. Nick Wilson, G. Bush here on a F off Friday, a football Friday. We will get to Browns and Eagles as the show goes on. There's a big question I did not hear asked on the station today, and I think it's everything that this game is about on Sunday. We're going to get to that on today's show. But we do have Adam Kaplan, Pro Football Network, SiriusXM NFL Radio, Philly guy. We'll talk with him about, maybe about the Phillies getting eliminated. More importantly, we'll talk about this Eagles team. We've got Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman at 340. We'll get his thoughts on this game, his thoughts on Deshaun Watson, his thoughts on Kevin Stefanski. Is he Oliver Twist and just wants some more power, sir? Or is he actually a little bit more in on the decision-making than people want to give him credit for? And then Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock as well. But a lot of you guys, 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, G. Bush, what's your handle, bud?
At G. Bush 91.
And social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So we're going to start here. We've got a lot of Game 4 reaction in what was an insanely fun night. But if you had to bet on one team to win coming up this weekend, the Guardians in Game 5 or the Browns or the Eagles, if you could only bet on one, who do you actually feel most confident about? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Tomorrow, 108 first pitch, Tarik Skubal on the bump for Detroit. We're going to see. We think it's Matthew Boyd. Pretty sure, yeah, Boyd for Cleveland. But we just threw this up. At Nick Wilson says, at G. Bush 91, which game do you feel more confident in winning this weekend, Guardians Game 5 or Browns-Eagles? I want to get to that in a second there, G. Bush, but I thought it was interesting. You know, the Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zers, and as we continue to have the conversation about the Friday injury report, Jack Conklin, he's going to be up? Where have I heard this one before?
Every week, like every week since the beginning of the season. He's supposed to be up. Oh, my goodness. I'm not counting on it.
Well, with that, as we continue to talk about the Browns here, I want to make sure that Diabate, Hicks, Hurst, Ward, all questionables, Nick Chubb, Grant Delpit, Ronnie Hickman, Nyheim Hines, James Hudson, Ethan Posick, all out. So the walking wounded continues on this weekend. The Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZers.com to get your free consultation. I think the problem with trying to find the right answer on Game 5 for the Guardians-Tigers or Browns-Eagles are both games feel impossible in their own way, mm-hmm. and both games feel incredibly winnable in their own games.
Yeah, when I look at it, and the problem with trying to pick the Browns to win this game is even when the Guardians, you know, haven't played well the first few games or when they lose to the Tigers – at least you can point to something, right? You're like, wow, you know, Skubal was great, but your pitching was pretty good during that game too. You got out of it with a 0-0 tie, and so you could hang your hat on that. And you're like, wow, like, you know, I know guys haven't been hitting, you know, all that great at the top of the order, but look, those guys are coming around, and you got guys kind of trending in the right direction, and the game is in Progressive Field in Game 5. But when you take a look at the Browns, I mean, you watched all 22. It's just, it's not as if Deshaun Watson is playing great. As a matter of fact, it's the worst last week. This is the worst I've ever seen him play in a Browns uniform, and it was mind-boggling. But let's not pretend that Kevin Stefanski is killing the game right now. Like he's the next coming of Andy Reid. I mean, he's had some snafus, time management, leadership. And I even questioned for the first time last week, are the guys even playing hard for him? that hit different. The defense seems it looks like it's figured out. Then you couple with the injuries, the offensive lineman up front. And for me, it actually gets kind of easier the longer I talk about the Browns. Give me the Gardos at home in a game five. It's an uphill battle, but I'll take that over what we got going on in Cleveland
with the Browns. I got to say, though, the Browns are 9.5-point dogs.
It's crazy.
So Philly's getting spotted, the roughly 3 points that Vegas usually gives the home team, and then tacking on another touchdown on top of it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's a winnable game. The mm-hmm. Eagles have won. Jalen Hurts has not kind of refound that magic. Last year was kind of an average year for him coming off the Super Bowl. And then this year, you can make a case that, you know, the NFL's kind of figured out the RPOs that they're running and that they have yet to figure out a pivot. I mean, we're talking realistically with Philadelphia. Is Nick Sirianni on the firing line here? And honestly, the Browns have a chance to be the game.
Yeah.
That if you show up on Sunday and kick their ass at home, that they would start the season 1-2. It wouldn't surprise me if Nick Sirianni is in the line of danger, given that Robert Saleh just got murked as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's up out of there. If they lose to the Browns, yeah, especially given the fact that the Browns have been inept against way inferior. I mean, they made the Giants look like world beaters. I mean, they made Gardner Minshew beat you without Devontae Adams. And a boatload of receivers I had never heard of running reverses, and he got 150 some yards on the ground. Like, that's nasty work.
So I think that's where it is with the Browns, though, and I think you hinted at it. The Browns are beating themselves or have beat themselves against inferior opponents. Take the Washington thing out of it. I think Washington was a whole other animal. The problem against the Giants and Raiders is you had repeated opportunities. I mean, chance after chance after chance after chance to make a play, a single play. And a single play changes either one of those games. Now, you did against the Raiders, and it got called back through a pretty ticky-tack hold at that point in the game. But, like, so I think the lack of belief in the Browns, it's not that, although maybe this is where the Washington game changed it, it's not that you can't be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's that are you gonna finally, when it comes down to time to win the damn game, are you going to clamp down and win? Because I don't trust them to do that. But Philadelphia is incredibly gettable right now, and you could, like, I'm going to continue to come back to, if you show up and you're serious about winning on Sunday, you can be the guy that helps Nick Sirianni kick the bucket as a head coach for the Eagles. I don't think we can discount that.
Yes. No, listen, the Browns still got, let's not get it twisted. I mean, you still got Myles Garrett, you still got JOK, who played pretty well besides a missed tackle, a couple missed tackles. You see glimpses with this Browns team. It's not like, you know, the whole game is completely devoid of anything positive. You see certain things. There's some throws Deshaun Watson makes. He's like, oh, okay, I see that. Or there's some times where you look at it and the defense is swarming. They get that pressure. They get sacks. And you're like, okay, that's the team I'm looking for. But overall, in general, the thing that we're going to have to start worried about and looking at that might have changed the way people start perceiving this team is they can't come out and play like they did against Washington in the way that they played with the Eagles. Because for me, for the first time, I started questioning whether or not the guys in the locker room were playing hard for Kevin Stefanski. That was never in doubt last year. Five quarterbacks, that defense banged up, guys in and out of the lineup, that was never a doubt. Kevin Stefanski always was next man up. They rallied the troops. They got it done. There's some times where I'm looking on the field, and especially for the defense, the energy level, the gang tackling is not there. And on top of that, the boneheaded plays that are taking points and interceptions and turnovers off the board, they can't play that style, because that starts to seep into the locker room.
It's so funny you say that too, because I sometimes, you know, when we've had a couple different conversations about Kevin, and it seems as if everybody just wants to shift it to, everyone will agree Kevin has not been good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it all ties back to, well, this is confirmation bias that Deshaun sucks. And that might be. But you know who's going to know before you and I know? That locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't pin, if he loses the locker room, which I think they're so bad so early, and they're so self-defeating so early, you can't tell me, like, I've heard 10 experts this week have come out and been like, they're not firing Kevin Stefanski. You can't say that at 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wishing for it, man. I'm not praying for it. I got things to say about Kevin where I think he can be better, and it frustrates me that he's not. But at the same point, like, I'm not wishing for it, but there's a lot of people writing checks that the Browns sure as hell can't cash. If you get to 1-10, why do you think, even if Deshaun's playing this whole time, why do you think that the locker room is going to look at Kevin and hold him accountable for some level? Because they're seeing details of this that you and I are not.
Listen, I'll give you credit. I'm going to give you credit. You're the first person to say what I've been silently feeling in my heart of hearts. And I'm saying, listen, guys, I know you want to play this game, right? And I know that Deshaun Watson isn't playing well. And by the way, I've already come out and said I would bench him myself. I said I would play Jameis Winston because I know where this leads to. Because if you don't bench Deshaun Watson or you don't make any changes and you keep coming out every single week and you say, we're not sitting Deshaun, okay. Are you going to turn over play calling to Dorsey? No, we're not going to do that. We're still going to collaborate. Are you going to shift the offense back to what you did best? Are you going to shift it back to running the ball, lining it up? And if I talk to Bernie Kosar and Sean King and all these other people, they're like, that's what Kevin Stefanski is. That's his bread and butter. They get Nick Chubb back in a couple of weeks. Just move back towards what you do well, and you'll be able to give yourself an opportunity to win or stay competitive with a line that has deficiencies. If he doesn't do that, and guys are looking at him in his face, and like you said, they go 1-10, there is no way you can unmarry yourself from that level of dysfunction, because they're going to look at you and say, you're the man in charge. You have the opportunity to turn the ship around and do what you need to do to make tough decisions. And if you don't...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's going to sit with you.
Well, and Dean on Twitter correctly pointing out, he said, you do realize you do the same thing every single week. Monday, you correctly analyze the Browns. By Friday, you're talking them up. I'm actually talking down about the Eagles.
Right.
Like, I'm not. I mean, here's the thing, guys. They're still a talented team. Yes, they are injured. Yes, they are absolutely mired in their own filth. And there are days where I feel like a first class passenger on the Titanic who sees the iceberg and says, "Let's see how the captain and the first mate handle this." Like, I've got a cocktail.
Right.
I've got the band is lined up in front of me. And you know what? I know I've got a lifeboat one way or another. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
The ship might not. The captain might not. The first mate might not. But I just think it's like any moment that the Browns show up and are serious about winning, they can be competitive. And if you're competitive in games, you can still win games. It's the NFL. Talent is not why they are where they are. It is things like, are they playing hard for Kevin? It is things like, are they playing hard for each other? Are they focusing? Are they doing the little things you need to without the week? Is this whole thing built on quicksand instead of bedrock? Like, those are the things. Like, this is not talking the Browns up. It's a reality that on any given Sunday, any team in the NFL should be able to show up and put out a competitive effort. And most of those teams don't have Myles Garrett.
You're looking towards your leaders and you say, okay, who's the guy that stands up and says, nah, we're not going down that avenue? Because you'll start to see, and let me tell you this right now, you'll start to see people making these business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You go by 1-5.
If they haven't already.
If they have, hey, coach, that my hammy a little tight, you know what I'm saying? I got this hip flexor. Yeah, I'm a little dizzy right now. I got dinged up a little bit on that last play. You know, my back is tightening up on me, coach. When you start to get that happening, and it's happening with frontline starters, and then you got to get to your depth at certain these places, that's not going to work. And this is the elephant in the room. Everybody can play the cool note, and then we're going to keep a status quo against the NFC East. But it's a little different when your brothers and your cousins come start kicking your tail. when the Steelers start putting on you, when the Ravens start running it up. Oh, God forbid Joe Burrow comes in here and does what he wants to do. Then those losses are going to sting a little bit. And then fans will say, hold on. I'm starting to rethink what's going on here, because division games hit different. It's intimate. Those losses hurt more. And hopefully he makes changes before somebody else makes him make changes.
Well, the Ravens and Steelers, okay, though you're not in the same class as that right now. Problem is, if you don't win this game, the Bengals are after this, and that's the first home game since, what, September 22nd?
Mm-hmm.
The game's going to carry a lot of weight. I don't know if that's for Deshaun. I don't know if that's for Kevin. Ken Dorsey. I don't know who. But if all of a sudden a team that has your identical record or one more win that you're fighting for basement in this division for, if they dust you at home, I just continue to come back to. We continue to try and say, well, they're not the same old Browns. It looks like it. It feels like it. And if it looks like it and it feels like it to you and me, I can't imagine what it looks like and feels like to Jimmy Haslam. And the idea that the old wild card suddenly isn't, I've reformed my ways. 1-5, 1-6 after a loss to the Bengals. Let's if you can say you're reformed after that, maybe I'll listen. 216-474-0092. So we've looked at this from the Browns side, but which game are you more confident in winning? Game 5 of the ALDS for the Gardos or Browns-Eagles on Sunday? John, you stick there. Because I do think, if you're saying the Guardians game, I love the energy, but let's remember the stakes. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. To a person, like 5% of people have voted the Browns game on Sunday.
I just checked it.
And that means 95% people are more confident. Now, maybe this is like a forfeit. Maybe this is like the Browns didn't show up to the fight, so the Guardians get it. But I just, game five, I have no confidence in game fives. Like, I love where they're at, and I think the offense is awakening. If they are, it has implications beyond game five here. And I think it makes it, you know, the fact that Jake Rogers, the catcher who's caught every Tark Skubal game, mm-hmm. I want to say this season, if not since August, Jake Rogers has a wrist injury. There's some concern he might not be able to go. So if you don't have who I think is by far the best framing catcher in baseball for that ace, and your offense is waking up, I think it gives you a little bit more momentum here. At the same point, it's game five. There's no certainties in game five. This game excites me. A little too much, if we're being honest there, G. Bush. You see the glint in my eyes.
Yeah.
And it also terrifies the hell out of me. I don't know how you can say game five.
Well, look, see, so I think there's two things at work here. I think most people, like, you're getting a big walk up crowd. Like, there's a lot of people who don't know that, you know, the Tigers have a catcher that's one of the best framing catchers in the game. You know, Skubal, we've heard his name a lot, but I mean, how many people really know how good he is, right? They just know he's a pretty good pitcher. So, and it's also clouding their judgment a little bit because it's the Tigers. Like, they don't know the Tigers to be the Yankees or the Red Sox or anything like that. So it's kind of like, well, I mean, how momentous is it if the Guardians win? It's like, we're at home, but they just saw him win, and a lot of people don't know into the fine minutia of it. But they know how bad the Browns are. Oh, they've seen that the whole week. We've talked about it a bunch. So I think it's not the fact that people are as excited as they, you know, thinking that the Guardians are better than Tigers. I just think that right now they think that the Browns are that bad.
I also think there's one thing that I haven't said and I haven't heard you say, I haven't seen on social media, at Nick Wilson says, at GBush91, order of operations. I think if we flip-flop games 3 and 4, you won game 3, but you lost last night. And by the way, losing in the exact same way, where you have all the magic happen in game 3, and then you had a bunch of hard-hit balls that didn't fall in. One, that loss might be a little bit more defensible, I think, for Guardians fans. Mm-hmm. I think this is a lot more even. I think people are riding high. And listen, I'm not going to tell you not to. That was so much fun. So I think order of operations factors into this too.
I don't know if this is like, I think orders of operation is like algebra, if I'm correct. But I don't know why I just morphed to FIFO and LIFO in accounting as I failed both of those courses. First in, first out. I don't know why that hit me. I can see right now because I'm not good at it. But no, like the orders of operation are, you are going to be exponentially more excited about a Guardians team that you just saw win, right? So you're high off that win, and you're actually saw your quarterback play the lowest of low last week. So it's like you have no expectations that the Browns are going to come out and do it. But the crazy part about it is, if you ask me, in terms of the rosters and the people that they have, I mean, the Browns have Myles Garrett. The Browns still have really good players. The Browns have shown glimpses of them being successful and playing good football. It's just the fact that they haven't seen it in such a long time that it's just like, now let me go with the Guardians. It's an easy win.
I will say that has been the narrative about the Browns that, were we just wrong about them? It triggers me a little bit because it's like, no. Like, if you want to say last year was, inflated. 11 wins because you had a lot of good luck in terms of who you faced. Okay. You haven't faced anybody good this year outside of Dallas. And it still, I think, is to be determined how good Dallas really, truly is, or whether they're just feasting on a crappy schedule here early. So, like, you haven't really faced anyone. So, like, for this thing to go so cattywampus, so skewed to one degree that they're so bad, it's not just, well, you got lucky last year. Like, everything is going wrong. That is systemic. That is ingrained in the fiber and DNA going all the way back to Greenbrier.
We are starting to talk about, man, you don't want to even go here. You're starting to talk about culture again. And we thought we was past that. Like, It's almost like, you know, if you have kids, right, and you teach them to ride the bike and the training wheels are on, and then, you know, they bump their knees, they scrape when you take the training wheels off, and they're riding a bike, relatively well. And then you go back to them and say, hey, I know you're riding a two-wheeler great, but how about just throw the training wheels on to just entertain me? The look at your child is like, I am a big boy or girl now, Dad. You will not embarrass me with these training wheels. And that's what the culture word is. Like, we should not be here talking about whether or not you're playing hard when you had Super Bowl aspirations and the biggest payroll in the game.
So I'm going to take this on me because I said, like, last year was a sign, the way you won, right? The never say die mentality, right? The Goonies mentality. I thought to myself, sure enough, the culture's changed. And again, like, you put that in the broad context of four years, the low water mark is 7 or 8 wins. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's as bad as it gets, and half the time you're in the playoffs, in the NFL, that it doesn't put you in the top 7 teams. Does it put you maybe in the top 12, top 13? And it certainly allows you to level up and then work on leveling up again.
Yeah.
I think we missed the most important thing about culture within the NFL. Culture is not you have one good winning season or 2 out of 4 good winning seasons. No. Culture is you do it back-to-back years, and then you do it back-to-back-to-back years. And culture is when the you-know-what hits the fan, that doesn't distract you from being a competitive football team. This, I think the first 5 games absolutely does disqualify you from talking about culture, which means, again, I'm going to say it, I was wrong.
We look at it, and I think you can't, and here's the thing. Sometimes, because the word Baker has been so triggering to people, that now is, if you mention the word Baker, people tune out. I don't want to talk about Baker. We're talking about now. And you're like, listen, no, what I'm going to use is Baker Mayfield as a data point and to figure out something, because we got to figure this out, because there's a pattern here that you mentioned every other year. We thought we had to figure it out in 2020, didn't we? Mm-hmm. You get the win and you got your quarterback and, you got your high-priced receivers and everything on the outside. And then 2021 comes around and the season ends kind of like some of the stuff you're talking about now. Should we sit Baker? Is he hurt? Who we're going to play Keenum? Listen, are we going to give him another contract? All of these things were things that were storylines throughout the whole entire season. And that season was, to be frank, it was a disappointment. Now you're kind of doing that again. You're back at a point where you got questions about the quarterback, what we're running, and to learn what we are doing forward, we got to take a look back to see what that was.
Well, and I think, and this is, I'm going to play armchair psychologist, and I'm going to look at how I think about things to kind of inform this. I think the reason why nobody will acknowledge Kevin Stefanski has been booty cheeks this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that, okay, that's not his fault. It's Deshaun's fault. Oh, yeah, yeah, Andrew Berry's rosters, you know, there's some problems with how he drafts. But no, it's Deshaun's fault. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Haslam, man, there have been some leadership stuff. Sounds like he's still kind of way too involved in stuff. No. It's Deshaun, right? The reason why with Deshaun, because it's easier. It's easier. If it's not just Deshaun, then we have to open up to why is the culture not where it needs to be 5 years in, and that opens up the cycle of do you draft a quarterback with a first-round pick? Do you fire Kevin Stefanski? Do you need a better GM? And I don't think anybody wants to have that because we've lived that life.
It's like going to counseling in the midst of a divorce. And the easy thing is to say, you know what? It was the finances. It was we had money problems. We argued, or the kids. You know, the time requirement with the kids, or we had a life altering situation. And instead of saying, and then you get to counseling and you go through all these things, and the counselor looks at both of you and says, you know, maybe you guys made a poor decision being married in the first place. Seems like you guys kind of skipped a few steps. And I think nobody wants to rip open a Band-Aid and go down a road of, is this the right decision for me to do?
Well, and here's the other thing. You ever been to counseling? Yeah, they tell you to own your side of the street. You can't own your side of the street if it's all about Deshaun. 216-474-0092. If you had to, I'm not going to do that. I'm not talking about Ben. If you had to guess, or rather, which game do you feel more confident about? As I stumble through this, game 5 of the ALDS for the Gardos or the Browns, Eagles game. Adam Kaplan, Pro Football Network, SiriusXM NFL Radio Philly guy, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com